Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, LeBron James was named to the NBA's third team this year. Does that make questions for around him easier to answer or harder? We'll discuss next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody. Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how you get your podcasts, where you get your podcasts, always free, never behind a paywall, and always filled with excellent, insightful information. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to look at all of that insightful information come out of our mouths. Subscribe there. You get the podcast a little earlier than you typically would the audio product. So a little perk there for that for subscribers. We're going to get to some. We've now, Andy, finished three scouting reports for the three candidates that the Lakers have in their finalist lists to be the next head coach. We've done three scouting reports, three shows on them. So we'll react to kind of that later in the show. But first, Andy, the big news, LeBron James. He landed on the third team for the All-NBA voting. And my initial response to that was, well, crap, that makes things harder, not easier, like to figure out exactly what the Lakers ought to be doing with LeBron James going forward.
In what sense?
Well, on the one hand, third team's pretty good. And he averaged 30 points a game. And it was statistically speaking, you know, setting aside, can he bring it defensively, whatever. Offensively, LeBron was stunningly good last year, or this year, I should say, in terms of his production, you know, the elevated shooting, the raised efficiency in terms of his field goal percentage and all that stuff. He was really, really good. Good enough, I think, to be on the first team if he was around. But that was the problem. The reason he was on the third team is because he only played 56 games. And so on the one hand, you have evidence, tangible evidence that he is tremendously productive and still excellent and a guy that you can build a team around. 56 games, which matters more. It would be easier if he played seven or, you know, and it was clear that LeBron isn't the guy anymore or that, you know, he was a first team all-star, like still bulletproof and whatever. Obviously, that would be even better. But, you know, like both of those things are very true. He's still excellent. He is also kind of brittle these days, it almost seems like.
Yeah, to the point that you're making, on one hand, like just making the third team All-NBA at LeBron's age with this type of mileage, this many years in the league, it's incredible. Like I did a little bit of looking up information on Basketball Reference. And as an example, Kareem and Karl Malone, you know, two guys who also played very productively, very late into, you know, their 30s.
Kareem into his 40s.
Into the early 40s. They both made All-NBA teams at LeBron's age, but neither had the exact same, if nothing else, offensive responsibilities that LeBron had. They both, to be clear, did a lot, but LeBron's plate is exceptionally full. And if nothing else, this last season, he had way less help than Kareem or Malone had.
Well, look, if people are sitting out there, Andy, and even arguing with, like, you know, hey, it's the same. Okay, so you found two other guys going to the Kareem era to compare this to. It is wildly unusual to be this at his age.
That's why I went to go look it up, as I just wanted to see if there was any type of comp at all among the guys who played late. Like MJ never did it after 1998 when he was 34. So in other words, the Wizards stints never landed him on the All-NBA team, even though he was not terrible then.
Yeah.
Like Jason Kidd, KG, Dirk, other guys who played late into their 30s, they never made it an All-NBA team at anywhere close to a comparable age as LeBron. Kobe obviously got derailed by that Achilles. So again, like just putting this in a historical perspective, like we both said many times, there is really no template for what LeBron is doing at this stage of his career. It's incredible. But on the other hand, in LeBron's four seasons that he's been in LA, he's been third team twice, All-NBA. And those are the only two times in LeBron's career that he's ever made an All-NBA team that low. Mm-hmm. And then last season, the 2020-21 season, he was second team All-NBA. Again, great achievement. But for the first time since the 2007 season, when he had been a first teamer in the previous season, but he was still at a place where LeBron was winning voters over, you know, the media, stuff like that. And also, this was back when the forward competition in the NBA was insanely loaded. So again, this speaks to all of this, how LeBron is still a very good version of himself with the Lakers, but he has also been in decline. Like, by LeBron standards, this represents a decline.
Right. And
even if you're just talking about availability,
I think that's
because availability is important.
Is part of it. Right. And that's the issue. The defensive
issues that come from the aging process, those matter as well. And those also are part of that decline.
I think two things are true. I think LeBron is capable of dialing it up in the playoffs. I think, you know, like a lot of older players,
we don't know because it's
been they'd have to get there. Right.
Saying we've only seen him in one extended run with the playoffs. So like the idea of how often can he crank it up? It's starting to reach a place now where it's a theoretical.
It is like you have to see it again. But I think there have been moments even last year where there were games where LeBron was able to be that guy on both sides of the ball, bigger games, you know, go back to the Golden State game, those rare moments of happiness that they had.
I'm just saying, I no longer make that assumption because I don't think that's grounded in reality anymore.
That's fair. I am willing to do that. I'm willing to say, you know, until it's proven to me that LeBron, once the playoffs roll around, and again, they got to get in him first. It's a real theoretical because they have to qualify. I am willing, like many older superstars, the guys, even Kawhi doesn't play defense like he used to. It is rare to be.
Well, he hasn't played.
Well, you understand, but even when he was on the floor, Giannis, you know, Jason Tatum, guys like that are kind of genuine two-way stars, like really bring it offensively, really bring it deep. Like, those guys are the exception to the rule. As stars get older, they tend to coast a little more on defense and go to that when it is really, really needed because their offensive burden is so high. I'm okay with that. And I think that when you use the word decline, it really is important to note that you're talking about availability because
primarily, not solely, but
not
primarily.
Solely, but you know, there are certain things that he isn't as good at anymore. He doesn't finish at the rim with the same explosiveness and all that kind of, but he's a much more efficient three-point shooter than he used to be. So like there are, you know, in the aggregate, I think when you look at it, he is still a very effective player, and the decline is physical in terms of how you can rely on him to be the 55 games in his first season as a Laker, 67 the year after, again, interrupted by the pandemic. So you
and get a shortened season period.
Right. And you get the bonus of rest and all that kind of stuff. But he was pretty healthy that year, 45 last year, 56 this year. Like, that's a far cry from what he was doing in Cleveland with everything was basically in the mid to high 70s.
When everybody talked about him as a cyborg.
Right. And he would play 75 games a year, you know, 69, I think was a low in 2014, 2015. Somewhere there's a strike in here and I forget what's going on. But he was just incredibly durable, missed very few games for injury. And you can't say that anymore. And so what I want to ask you next is what that means as you try to build around. I don't think the Lakers are going to get rid of LeBron James. I don't think they're going to try to trade him, but they still have to make decisions that are based on what they think LeBron is next year and the next couple of years beyond that? So that's the really difficult question they have in front of them, and the one I'm going to ask you, Andy Kamenetsky, next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by rockauto.com. With the different increasing numbers and makes and models out there, it is impossible to stock all the parts you would need in a traditional chain storefront. And look, why would you even spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership anyway, dummy? This is why you shouldn't be going there in the first place, because you can get it for far less at rockauto.com, where, by the way, they have no problem stocking all the parts that you need, everything you could possibly want. And as an example, in terms of what they have in stock, but also a better price, Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 on average at a chain store, $216 at rockauto.com, because they're not jacking up the prices, trying to screw you over. They are a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years, whether it's for a classic or a daily driver, you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com.
So what do you do if you're the Lakers? I mean, we've all agreed that it would be ideal if you can trade Russell Westbrook. I think we're going to talk a lot more about that on Friday's show, and some of the things that have been written instead about that.
And by Friday's show, you mean all the ones.
Every day is a Friday.
until he either opts into his contract for some type of deal, or until his time with the Lakers passes, or the trade deadline passes. Whichever of this.
I don't want to call that a Monday. I don't want an endless series of Mondays. I want an endless series of Fridays, Andy. So that's how we're going to frame this. But yes, you're correct. Mm-hmm. I think we both agree that it is legitimate to wonder about the ability to really build a championship team around Anthony Davis. Both based on his performance and his durability. And like LeBron is in this weird spot where he could still bring it, and he brings it pretty consistently, as opposed to Davis, who can bring it, but it's spottier. But you don't know when it's going to end. You don't know is it going to be 50 games a year for the next two or three, 50 really good ones? How do you plan for that? What the heck do you do with this version of LeBron, who's still excellent when he plays and unreliable to play?
I don't know. I mean, it's a really tricky scenario. And I've talked a lot about lately my real concern that LeBron and AD as your star foundation moving forward is not practical, mm-hmm. and that it's not something the Lakers can really rely on, because it's one thing to have one of your stars with availability issues, but the other one is available. It's not ideal, but you can find ways to work around it depending on the timing of the injuries, severity, all that sort of stuff. But you can find ways to tread water if you have at least one star regularly available and a solid supporting cast. You know, I mean, we saw it all last year with Philadelphia and Joel Embiid either not having Ben Simmons, or, you know, the time before Harden was there. Like, you can make it work even if it's not ideal. Jokic. Denver did this all year with no Jamal Murray, no Michael Porter Jr. You know, Jokic, it was a hell of a taxing season on Jokic, and it may have affected a lot of what happened with Denver in the playoffs. But anyway, it can be done. When both guys are absent, though, and it's not just the Lakers, this is what the Clippers have dealt with, it's what the Nets have dealt with. I don't know if that's something that you can reasonably plan around for LeBron's future, but then you start thinking about what was supposed to be that transition period. You and I had both hoped that by now you would have already seen AD at the forefront and transitioning into really being the focal point of the Lakers' offense, certainly the defense, right, and LeBron really the guy driving that engine, but the engine is AD. I don't know how you can rely right now on the now or presumably the later with
it. Well, it's just because it is wishful thinking. At this point, there's too much evidence. If Nikola Jokic could tear an ACL, I mean, I'm not rooting for that, knock on wood, I hope it doesn't happen, but Nikola Jokic could tear an ACL next year and miss 6 months and come back and That doesn't mean Jokic is unreliable physically. I do think you need two or three or four seasons. It's a brutal game. Guys are going to get hurt sometimes. But at this point, it is wishful thinking to believe that you're going to get healthy seasons out of LeBron and AD. It just is. And I don't know what the alternative is. That's the problem. Like, I still think the Lakers are in a better place with LeBron. I think you ultimately have to try to figure out how to roll the dice and make it work with LeBron, which, by the way, not to veer into the Westbrook conversation, is partially why people often get so adamant about the need to trade Westbrook and get him off the roster, because you have a limited window with James and you're going to try to make it work, and imperfect as it is. Like, everybody recognizes that if you can build a pretty good team around him, and if you can thread the needle and have LeBron available for the 65 games that matter the most, he's going to give you a pretty good chance to win. And I just don't see a better alternative to that. But the days of being comfortable with it, long gone, at least for me.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
What do you think is a scenario that is better for the Lakers' championship aspirations this season? However, by the way, legitimate you think those are to begin with.
Currently, not.
You know, it's something, though, that this may be part of a separate, larger conversation, but I think it's important for people to remember that as much as you don't want to waste whatever productive years you think LeBron still has, as much as you want to avoid making that happen, the desire to avoid it doesn't mean that it will happen. You know what I mean? Like, you can't pretend.
I think you tweeted this out earlier in the week. Like, pretending that you're making the roster better isn't actually making the roster better.
Right. You can't. Your desire to get the most out of LeBron doesn't mean you will get the most out of LeBron.
Sure.
And the idea of, well, we can't waste those years. You may be wasting them whether you want to or not. It's just, how do you, sometimes it may come down to it. What is the most sensible way to go about potentially wasting them?
But there's no question the die may have been cast by the Westbrook deal.
It's a good way of putting it. But yeah, that was always you and I. This was something you and I hit on a lot before the deal.
It was
made
a 2-year thing that would be very difficult to unwind in between.
The biggest
The
biggest risk was never Westbrook himself, you know, whether on the court or attitudinally. It was never the dicey fit with him and LeBron. It was never what they gave up in the process. The biggest risk was,
which is saying something, because those things were really important.
Yes, they were. But the biggest risk was always, if this doesn't work, unwinding it is going to be
stuck for 2 years.
Really hard.
So was that your question, or was there?
No, it was just more. It was a bit of a sidebar. But
okay,
this is the question. Do you think you are better off with LeBron and AD, trying to build around them as best you can and hoping for the best? Or if you're sticking with LeBron, looking to move Anthony Davis, even if it seems like on a talent level, you are getting 60 to 70 cents on the dollar, but you are getting guys who are more reliable to actually be out there and presumably a good fit alongside LeBron, which could in turn lower the pressure of what you need to get in a trade for Westbrook, you know, the talent that has to return if you're going to make that move at all, because you've already started solidifying that roster around LeBron, and it's with guys that you believe are more likely to actually be available.
All right, I'm going to answer that question in two parts.
But with a lowered talent.
Right, one before the break and one after. I think the question that you're asking me there is really less about LeBron and more about AD.
Yes.
That is a referendum on Anthony Davis. Do I think 60 to 70% on the dollar is, you know, that could be like sort of dicily low, because I think if the idea is to make it up with volume, that you're trading one potentially transcendent superstar for three or four pieces that
think
could,
about,
you know,
the Dallas Mavericks model around Luka.
Sure. Around Luka, which got him to a conference final, you know, pretty good. And so I'm not averse to that, but I think what it
maybe 75% just, or, you know, 75 cents on the dollar.
It's gotta be like real, you know, the quality needs to be there. It can't just be people that you can plug into a rotation. It's got to be people that equal in the sum of their parts something that's better than Anthony Davis plus whatever the Lakers would otherwise fill it with. But so I mean, I'm open to the idea of trading Davis, and I'm open into the idea of not trading him for another superstar, because I think, you know, one of the most interesting through lines to the conversations that we've had with each other and with guests throughout the off season so far, this long, long, endless, eternal off season, is this idea of, do the Lakers have to stay with this model that they've been so dedicated to? And I think a lot of teams have shown no is the answer to that question. So I'm wide open to that idea of not getting a superstar back in an Anthony Davis trade. But the other half of this question, which we can answer after the break, I think is related to what you consider to be worth it, so to speak, in terms of the window you're opening up. Like, what percentage chance is a good enough chance to kind of keep going all in with LeBron or keep going all in with Anthony Davis? And I have thoughts about that. I'm curious about yours. Talk about it next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Truebill. Okay. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's because it's a business. Well, it's because, Brian, it's a business scam out to get you. These are greedy corporations looking to take your money, because that's what greedy corporations do. Don't get me started on this sidebar.
Fat cats.
Yeah. Again.
We got to get a graphic of a fat cat. I'll look for that while you
Garfield.
This is going to come in handy. You keep talking. I'm going to get a fat cat.
Okay. It's not going to happen because you don't know how to.
No, it won't happen now. It'll happen eventually. Okay. I'm saying it'll be all ready right for future shows.
I'm our tech guy when it comes to that. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't want, need, or you just forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel the unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Truebill has helped over 2 million users save collectively over $100 million. Take that, greedy corporations. Don't fall for the subscription scam. Starts canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
Daryl Morey would often get filleted, Andy, for talking about, like, if there's a 5% chance, a 10% chance, a 15% chance of going to win a title, like, it's worth making big, bold moves to do that. That is a big enough percentage. And I think a lot of people look at it and say, that's ridiculous. But at his core, I think he's right. Because as we've seen, you know, throughout the NBA, like, a lot of assumptions that we make about teams turn out to be wrong. People thought this was a Lakers and Nets inevitability that there would be, you know, at least in the conference finals, and neither team made it. You thought the Warriors would be good, but were more skeptical than I was. I thought the Warriors could be very good and didn't have them in the finals. I didn't think they'd be this good. And so, like, we're wrong. Like, you have to see how these things play out. And so 15% can suddenly be 60% if the right things happen. So I think ultimately my answer to do they have a big enough percentage chance of being a contender is yes, with Anthony Davis and LeBron, if they can thread the needle of putting a better team around them. And some of that, I guess, is a Westbrook trade. Some of that is either trading THT or developing him. Some of it is doing a better job finding free agents this offseason. That to me is the bigger problem. Is less about the availability. They don't even have an infrastructure of enough of a supporting cast around these guys to benefit from the 80, if they got 80 games out of them. They still are not as good as the best two or three teams in the conference. I don't think.
That's what makes it really difficult to figure out in one of these trades, you know, using the Daryl Morey ethos of, you know, 5% better, 8% better, whatever. It's difficult to make that proposition with the Lakers because, I mean, snark aside, it's really difficult to know just how close they realistically are. Like, let's just say next season people stay healthy. Like, even with that in mind, it's still hard to really gauge how close do you think they are, because you have no template to go off. Last season was such a disaster that informationally, you don't gain much from it. So
yeah, that's a huge problem.
So I mean, that to me, like right now, I feel like a trade that makes the Lakers 8% closer to contention, fine, that makes them a 38% chance of winning a title. So to me, that's,
well, that, no, but like I think the bigger like question is like, do, if you're, and maybe this is what you meant, like if you get 30, if you make a trade that makes them 10% better, it's a pretty good leap, I think, from a deal, 10-15% better. Right now, that makes them a seven seed. You know, it's like I
you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, yeah, so you have a 20 or 25% chance of winning a championship.
Anthony Davis,
that doesn't feel like, okay, well, we gotta go all in. If, you know what I mean?
I think if you had a 25% chance with whatever, but like I would debate, like if you got 80 games or 75 games out of Anthony Davis and LeBron this year, where do you think the Lakers would have finished?
This year?
Yeah, with the rest of the roster, with Westbrook kind of playing the way that they, because again, the results with all three of those guys together, they were basically a 500 team.
Yeah, but it's if those guys had been healthier all year, I think they would have been better than a 500 team because they would have had more time to actually build reps.
Okay,
out.
That's fair, but like right. How much better?
I think they're anywhere from a six to maybe a three seed, maybe. I mean, but I'm talking about best case scenario, because even in all this, I'm not including, for example, like Kendrick Nunn being available. Like
no. I'm just talking about everything is exactly the same, plays out the same way, except you have LeBron and AD available for 70 games.
I think they become anywhere from six seed as a baseline, three seed to goddamn the three of them together really played pretty well.
Right. Something would have had to have clicked in that time with the continuity. Because I do think
that there is a realistic chance that if LeBron and AD are together all the time, it becomes A, easier for them to figure out what to do with Westbrook, but B, also it becomes easier to get Westbrook to buy into the stuff that he doesn't want to do.
Right.
Because it feels like there's more of a purpose to that buy-in.
And there's a payoff, because in theory they're winning a little bit. But that answer is kind of the crux of the entire offseason. And it's the answer to all of this other stuff. And like, I think with the roster that they had, where Malik Monk, I guess, is your third best player, you know, Westbrook, you know, times ill fitting, but maybe third best, but your fourth is Malik, night to night. That's not good enough. And the way that those pieces fit together, particularly defensively, really wasn't good enough. And you have to make up that gap to make the pairing worth it. And so do you have a path to do that without trading one of these guys? And I think that's the question you were asking before about, you know, trading AD for depth.
Yeah.
That's the hope that people have around, you know, Lakerland, is that you can somehow flip Russ for depth. You can get, you know, flawed but good, useful players. Okay. Their bigger problem to me is less the core pairing, as it is the inability to create a really good infrastructure around them. We'll definitely react to these scouting reports as the Lakers get closer to making a coaching hire. We got some great information. Please go back and listen to those. They're all up. We have Terry Stotts, Darvin Ham, and Kenny Atkinson. Really in-depth, show-long scouting reports about these guys. So we'll give you our thoughts about these coaches. Friday, we'll also talk about Russell Westbrook and surprisingly cogent comments from Magic Johnson, of all people. That'll be Friday. Thanks so much for joining us. Locked On Lakers on YouTube. See everybody Friday.